Hey, friend, welcome back into the Semi-Seminary in another week, another episode of our Bible study series called The Bible for Grownups. This is another one of those childhood stories. Tonight, we're going to look at how we have a faith that once it's tested, when we go through hard times in our lives, what happens is that faith is a faith that in the future can be trusted. Even when we don't know the end to our own story. Tonight we're going to look at the famous story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I will see you on the other side. Now I'm going to get started. So we're going to continue talking about Daniel, doing those kind of Bible stories that we, you know, talk about. We give them we had a childlike understanding. We need to look at it from an adult perspective. This is another one of those stories that you're going to probably be familiar with from your childhood, if you were around church at all. We're going to be looking today at Daniel chapter 3. And the reality is right now, for many of us, we've said this before, that many of us are going through difficult times. And we have talked about the truth and the saying that if you're not going through a difficult time right now, you unfortunately probably will before you know it. And we acknowledge as adults that the Bible doesn't prevent, or Jesus doesn't prevent trouble coming to us. In fact, the Gospel of John in 16:33 says, in this world you in fact will have trouble. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. And I don't know everyone's situation, but I know a lot of people are battling one fire or another. It could be a financial or a health-related fire, a relational situation, job instability. Maybe it's not unstable. Maybe you've just been searching for a while and you haven't found it. Maybe you start to begin to feel that things aren't going to get any better. You feel like you've done everything that you know how to do, but you're still struggling. What do we do when we're in the middle of the fire? Well, I'd like to read a portion of scripture that hopefully can establish some direction for us this evening. Pray this speaks to you the way that it speaks to me. Then I'll introduce this story we're going to find in Daniel 3. 1 Peter 1 and 7 says, these trials, whatever it is we're going through, will show that your faith is genuine. As you endure these trials, they'll show the quality and depth of your faith. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring, Scripture says, much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. Apostle Peter says these trials will reveal your faith. It will show that the faith that you have is in fact genuine. In fact, the key thought for us this evening is this. A faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. And we're going to look today at faith truly being tested in the lives of three teenage boys, probably of the age of 14 or 15 years of age, by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now remember King Nebuchadnezzar. He's the evil king. And at one point, you may remember from the story, he decides to build this gigantic statue of himself. Tell everybody in the kingdom, you must bow down and worship the golden statue of me. The statue was over 90 feet tall. So a 9-story building tall, right? 30 yards straight up in the air. And it was 9 feet wide. He says, every government leader, every advisor, every judge, every magistrate, I want you all to come to this dedication. In Daniel 3, verses 4 through 6, the herald shouts out, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and pipes, and all of the other musical instruments, he tells us to bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. bow to the ground and worship the statue. Then he says in verse 6, anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Verses 12 through 15 of chapter 3, we see, well, everybody bowing low. Except for these three teenage boys who continued to stand firm even when there was a trial they were facing, right? And the result of that trial could be they could be thrown into a fire. Remember, a faith that's tested is a faith that can be trusted. In the story, we have three teenage boys who are staring down a very, very difficult day. And there are some qualities of faith that occur, there are some qualities that occur within our faith when we're facing these seasons of trials, or for today's purpose, the fire that we're looking at. And I really believe, that God could speak to us specifically as to why God would allow the circumstances of some challenges that we experience. That's one of the big questions we so often ask God. God, why is this happening to me? Because a faith that is tested is a faith that can be trusted. Right? And so I want to talk about the qualities of faith we see in this story as we navigate our way through the fire. The first one is this: faith obeys God, not mankind. Everybody's bowing down. These three boys are standing. Scripture says in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Now, remember how I told you that these Babylonian and Persian kings, they thought of themselves pretty highly. They were convinced that they themselves were gods. These are very, very powerful, important individuals. Now put yourself in the sandals of these teenage boys who have the audacity, who have the confidence to stare down a king, almost certain death, and say, you know what, king? We don't have to answer to you about this. Because this isn't even between us and you. This, what we're doing, is between us and God. Faith obeys God instead of obeying mankind. They didn't have to pray about it. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to fast on it. They didn't have to take this dramatic circumstance of their life, post it all in graphic detail on Facebook, ask everybody to comment what they should do, right? None of that. They had one predetermined plan, and that was obedience to God no matter what. That's it. We'll be obedient to God no matter what. Now, remember this, we talked about this last week about Daniel being challenged about praying and stuff. And we can rationalize very easily excuses by which we think we might be able to fake it. It would have been easy for these boys to rationalize this and compromise. Everybody is bowing. Everybody. They could have easily said to each other, all right, look, just bow down. Pretend that you're worshiping this 90-foot ridiculous statue, right? But in our hearts, we're singing to God. In our hearts, we're praying to the one true God. We'll just fake it. Or they could have said, hey, all right, we'll worship the idol. Then tomorrow, we'll wake up with a lot of guilt and we'll do what we've done before. I'll just ask God to forgive me. That hits home for a lot of us, because many of us live our lives in such a way where maybe we find that it's okay to go out do what we want, wake up feeling guilty, and just, oh, I'll ask for forgiveness. These boys didn't do that. It's a predetermined outcome that was them saying, we'll honor God, obey God no matter what, and we are not following what everybody else is doing. And I promise, you hear me say this ad nauseum, if you're a follower of Christ, Satan, your spiritual enemy, will give you ample opportunity in this world to compromise, to trick yourself into not believing what you know to be true, what you know God's purpose to be for you. But we're not to listen. Because faith, our faith, we want our faith to focus on an audience of one and not the approval of others. The second thing that we see from these boys is that faith obeys in spite of what it sees. That this is the walking by faith, not by sight bit. Faith in spite of what it sees. Daniel 3, now verse 17, the boys speak again to Nebuchadnezzar. They say, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Right? No matter what I see, I believe, my faith is convinced that my God is all powerful and my God is willing to save me. And this is something I think we need to really wrestle to the ground and understand in our own spiritual walks. Because it helps a lot of things make sense. Because there is a big difference between a God being able to do something in your life and a God who wants to do something in your life. No matter what the circumstances look like in your world, right? We believe no matter what. And you might be saying, well, what do you mean? I mean, I'm talking about even like maybe in the last month you may have left the doctor and you had news that you did not expect to hear. And it rocked your world. So what do we do in those situations where we have to rely on our faith and not on what we see? Well, A, we have to trust God. The second thing is our faith has to rise to those situations and believe with everything in you that my God, that our God is not only able to heal, but I believe our God is willing to heal. Now, what God actually does, well, that's up to God. But he's called us to pray and believe prayers of faith. Right? Maybe we're looking at a dangerously low checking account. Well, one, maybe we sell the Sea-Doo. Maybe, secondly, get a job. Third, believe with everything in you that my God is willing and able to provide for me. Maybe it's a relationship that's falling apart. So what do we do? What does our faith do? Our faith has to grow and say, I believe that my God is powerful and is willing and able to restore relationships. There's so much doubt in our world. And I think we are so often lured into the thought that the things that we allow ourselves to think, the things we allow ourselves to pray, the things that we allow the circumstances around us to define in our lives, God is not confined to those things. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than you would ever even dare ask God to do. So if we believe that, why doubt? Our faith says that God is with us. Our faith believes no matter what we see. Now, here's my last thought. Faithful obedience is our responsibility. The outcome, though, is God's. This is a big, big deal This is a key to successful Christian living. Understanding that living out what God has called us to do, the life that God has purposed you to live, that's your job. But that's where your job ends. What does God do with it after His job begins? That's up to God. Our job is to be obedient, to be faithful. How it plays out is up to God. No promises, right? Recognition. Our job is obedience. Outcome is God's. Daniel chapter 3 and 18. I think we see this illustrated. Now remember, these are three teenage boys staring down a powerful king, saying, "I believe my God is able, and I believe my God is willing." And then at 18, he says, they say, "But even if he doesn't, I believe that my God will save me. I believe that my God can save me, and I believe my God wants to save me. But even if he doesn't, we want to make clear to you, your majesty, that we will never, ever serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. No matter what, we will do what is right before God, and we will simply trust him with the outcome." And guys, it is super, super easy for us to listen to the story and think, well, duh, of course they did say that. Because we know the outcome of the story. We know how it turns out. We think, well, it's not such a big deal. We know already they're going to be rescued. Because we're several thousand years removed from the story. We've got three young boys that are facing a very hot oven. They are about to become crispy critters. They don't know what God is going to do, but their faith is unwavering because they know intimately the goodness and the power and the heart of their God. And so, in response to this insolence, this rebellion, what does King Nebuchadnezzar do? For the first time, King Nebuchadnezzar orders that the furnace be stoked seven times hotter than normal. He orders that the strong soldiers would bind these boys' hands and throw them into the furnace. They are going to die. And the furnace, the Bible says, was so hot. The Bible actually describes that the soldiers who were throwing the boys into the furnace died instantly. Not in the furnace, outside of it. That's how hot it was. And so seemingly, they get thrown to their death. But God, verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke. He spoke to his counselors and said, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "we see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They're not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like," Scripture says, "is like the Son of God." This isn't the New Testament. This is not Acts. This is not Ephesians. This is Daniel from the Old Testament, right? Many people, I don't know that it necessarily to me matters whether it is or isn't, but many people see that fourth character in the furnace as Christ. It's something that's called a Christophany. That's the big word for tonight, Christophany, which means a Christ appearance in the Old Testament. Okay? Another one is King Melchizedek. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that character from Genesis. He's Melchizedek. He's another guy that a lot of people think might be this Old Testament incarnation of the person, the The one we know is Jesus, not the person, but the one we know is Jesus. Now remember too, not only were there three, now there's four, but when they were thrown into the fire, Scripture says that they were bound up. But now it says that they're running around loose. As they looked in, they saw four men in there unbound. Now, why is that relevant? Because, using the illustration of fire versus troubles or whatever, if you're facing a fire right now, some big, some small, and maybe you're begging God to deliver you from the suffering. You're begging God to bring an end to this season of challenge, a season of hurt, season of trial. And I appreciate that. I've been there and will be there again, just like you. But could I propose, perhaps, even as we saw in this story, that the very thing that you want God to remove from you might be the very mechanism that God uses to set you free? Right? I mean, the idea is that the fire would have burned the bindings off of their wrists. And so we conclude with verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Here we see this foreign king again. After seeing what Yahweh is capable of, we see them now say, praise their God. See, when God shows up in our hurts, the world will look on, because the world will know what we're going through. And when they see us with that faith that can be tested, they see God being glorified. They'll see you and your lack of doubt. I don't know why. Started with a D. Couldn't come up.
Words are hard.
Words sometimes are hard, especially late in the day. Mm-hmm. Right? When they see your lack of doubt, they'll see God shining through. And they'll say, "Praise be to the God of Jason, who was set free from addiction and never went back. Praise be to the God of Samantha, who stood by her husband when she didn't have to. God made their marriage better than new. Praise be to the God of Jonathan, who began to honor God with his finances." When you stand in the midst of a battle, people will look on and they'll see you, but they'll honor God. Verse 28, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their very lives rather than serve or worship any god except their God." Remember, friends, a faith that is tested is a faith that can be trusted. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any questions? Cool. Thanks, guys. You know what's interesting to me about the end of this story? In fact, the end to a lot of the stories of the Bible, from Abraham to Joseph to Job to Jesus. All of those stories exhibit a faith to obey God despite the fact they don't know the end of the story. We do now, thousands of years later, but those steps of faith that were taken that we read about, they were taken before they knew the end of the story. And if they can have the power to do it, the faith to do it, so can we. At least something to think about. Until next week, friend. Be blessed.